And now I want to go into the new sikh that we gave out, which is from Tavshin Mem Ches. It was also a historic Rebbeinu. The Rebbe said something that also, which was unprecedented, something new. And it's a long sikha. What I'll do is, I'll read. You can follow me, but I'll read it straight in English, so it won't, we'll have a little bit, the opportunity to cover more of the sikha. Let me just give an introduction. Generally speaking, we always find in sikhas and by Fabrengans a lot of discussion about the month of Elul. In fact, there's one sikha from the Friedrich Rebbe, a very beautiful sikha, where he draws a picture, not with paint or a brush, but with words, just describes so vividly what a Chassidish shtetl would look like in the time of Elul. I can use an expression that when Elul would come around, you can recognize it even in the fish that were swimming in the ponds. You felt it in the air. People got up earlier. You heard the shofar blowing early in the morning. The tilling, people running to shul on Shabbos. It was just, Elul was here. You felt it wherever you looked and wherever you pointed to. What was the preparation for Elul? Naturally, everybody became much more serious. Everybody started to think about their lives, what the year was all about. What did I do right? What did I do wrong? How could next year be better? It was a very serious time. In this sikha, we find an interesting thing. In fact, there's a story that the Mikkel Rebbe, when he was a child, like all the Rebbeim, when they were children, they were brilliant. And there are a lot of stories about statements that they made when they were children. So there's a story of the Mikkel Rebbe that he once walked by, he was a child, and he walked by a group of chassidim during the month of Elul that were talking and laughing, and seemingly they were just being light and frivolous. And the Mikkel Rebbe had seemingly just heard from a doctor. There was a doctor, a Jewish doctor, a chassid, that one of the ways of healing in those days was with, they had these little insects that would draw blood. In Yiddish, or it's Russian, it was called piyapkes. I don't know if it's Yiddish or Russian. Russian. So, seemingly they had to prepare this. They collected them in bottles, and it was this time of the year that they were prepared for the rest of the year. So the doctor let out a sigh, and he said that it's deep into Elul already. What he meant was it's this time of the year, and I still didn't get these bloodsuckers ready. In other words, he was just talking about his medical situation. But the Mikkel Rebbe, as a child, immediately interpreted this in a Ruch musical way. That it's deep in Elul, it's time to suck out all the bad blood, all the germs, and we still didn't start doing it yet. So these people who were sitting there and just laughing and being light, he said to them, the doctor just said that it's deep in Elul and we didn't get these ready to draw out the bad blood, and you guys are just, you know, having a good time over here. So this is basically, Elul was always the emphasis was Cheshbon HaNefesh, and it is, you know, to think about my life and so on and so forth. And usually, most people, when they think about their lives and what they did, what they didn't do, they get a little bit more serious. This sikha is a whole different perspective. This was a sikha, as you see on the top of the page, which was Shabbos Pashas Kiseite, like this Shabbos. But that year, Shabbos was Yud Aleph Elul. Tonight is Yud Aleph Elul. Tomorrow is going to be Yud Aleph Elul. Yud Aleph Elul is a significant day on the Chassidish calendar. It's the wedding date of the Rebbe Rashab and the Rebbe Tzvi Shtern Sora. And 2 days later, Yud Gimel Elul, the 13th of Elul, that's the wedding date of the Friedrich Rebbe. This was Yud Aleph Elul, the 14th of Elul. So the Rebbe says, that's how the Rebbe starts the Sikha. This Shabbos is Yud Aleph Elul. What's so amazing about Yud Aleph Elul? The Rebbe says it's 30 days before Sukkot. That's what you would expect. Yud Aleph Elul means it's 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. It's time to be trembling. Instead, the Rebbe says it's 30 days before Sukkot. And being that there's halacha, that you always have to prepare for a yontif 30 days in advance. And the theme of Sukkot is Simcha. So now that it's 30 days before Sukkot, we have to increase in Simcha. So what the Rebbe is saying is that in Elul, we have to say to ourselves, Okay, it's mid Elul. That means it's 30 days before the biggest simcha of the year. We have to start the simcha now already, 30 days in advance. So here's an interesting sikha that instead of the emphasis which is usually there in Elul about how serious to take life, which that still applies, it's a time of tshuva, but it's with simcha. And then the Rebbe adds that in addition to that, Yudala, this Shabbos, the Rebbe says, Friday was Yud Gimelo, the 13th of Elul. And the 13th is the wedding date of the Friedrich Rebbe. And because it's his wedding date, and he is the Nasi of the entire generation, so it applies to all of us. Again, an anniversary of a wedding is something which you don't find it written up in Shulchan Aruch. It's an American thing, different cultures, different countries do it. You don't find it in the Shulchan Aruch, but by the Rebbe, anniversaries of a wedding was always celebrated. In fact, when the Rebbe came out to celebrate Yom Haledah's birthday, the Rebbe also included anniversaries of weddings. And the reason is because when anything happens, every year that date comes around, whatever happened the first time repeats itself spiritually. So being that it's the wedding of the Friedrich Rebbe, the Nasi Adar, and his wedding is connected to the whole generation, it wasn't just an ordinary wedding, it's related to the whole generation. So therefore, every year on Yud Gimel Elul, it's a time to celebrate, and especially Simcha, because the Chasna is related to Simcha. So because of these two reasons, this time of the year is very much associated with Simcha. Number one, it's 30 days before Sukkot. Number two, I turn the page to 626. Number two, it's also the wedding date of the Friedrich Rebbe. I remember hearing somebody once said that he was walking by the Rebbe, by the Dalos on Sunday. This is a man who had, when this must have happened, he was probably in his 50s or 60s. And the Rebbe said to him, Mazel Tov. So he looked at the Rebbe, Mazel Tov. He had no idea why the Rebbe was saying Mazel Tov. The Rebbe says to him, I have to remind you that today is your anniversary. It was his anniversary that day. Anyway, so this is another thing. That year, Tavshin Memches, the entire year the Rebbe would read the year as Tisma. Tismach or Tesamach. If you look on page 626, it's by Gimel. Tismach means you should be happy. Tesamach, it's the same letters but different vowels. It means make other people happy. So the whole year is a year of Simcha. In addition to that, the Rebbe says, the whole year is a year of Hakel. As we know, the year we're approaching again is going to be a year of Hakel. And the Rebbe always says that Hakel, when everyone is together, that brings more Simcha. So from every angle that you look at it, it's a time for Simcha, and therefore we have to increase. Now on page 627 where it says Dalid, the Rebbe goes to explain the connection between Simcha and Mashiach. Hine, what is the connection between Simcha and Geula? First of all, the Rebbe says, the ultimate Simcha will be only once Mashiach comes. Because once Mashiach comes, there won't be any more pain, any more tears. All the negative things will be turned around, will be transformed into good, and therefore there'll be Simcha. So first of all, everybody has their little peckle, as you say. And even if somebody's going to say that they have nothing to be upset about because everything in their life is perfect, but they definitely can't be happy when so many other people in the world are suffering. So there's no way there can be true Simcha until Mashiach comes, the ultimate Simcha. That's number one, why Simcha and Geula are related. But then the Rebbe says it's also hinted in the word itself. The root of the word Simcha, the Shoresh, is Shin Mem Ches. And these three letters are the same letters that they constitute the Shoresh of the word Mashiach. Mashiach is also the primary three letters, is Shin Mem and Ches. There's a Yud added. But it's basically Mashiach is the three letters of Shin Mem Ches. What is the connection between Mashiach and Geula? So in footnote 32, the Rebbe continues to explain. One of the things it says about Simcha is Simcha Peretz Geder, which means joy breaks all barriers. As we know that when a person is happy, all the barriers melt. Everyone has their barriers, whether it's Gashmizdika barriers or Ruchnizdika barriers, certain limitations. When you're happy, you're able to do things that in normal circumstances you never would be ready to do it. Because when a person is besimcha, you break through barriers. And we know that Mashiach's name, he is a descendant of Peretz. Mashiach is a descendant of Yehuda. Yehuda had two children, one of them was Peretz, and he is the ancestor of Mashiach. And why is he called Peretz? Why did he name him Peretz? Also because he broke the barrier, he broke the rules. He was supposed to be born second and he was born first. So this indicates that Mashiach, one of the ways to characterize Mashiach is someone who breaks barriers. Like it says in another pasuk, Allah ha-peretz lefneyam. The Rebbe would finish many sikhs with these words. Mashiach is called peretz. And that's how the Rebbe always connects that Mashiach is associated with the word paratzta. Because he will be breaking the barriers of nature, and all those limitations that we had in the time of Golos, Mashiach will be breaking them through. So Mashiach and Simcha, in a sense, is synonymous. And in fact, the Simcha of a wedding, now we're going back to the top of the Sikh, is also connected to Mashiach, because it says that when Mashiach comes, that'll be the marriage of the Yidden and HaKadosh Baruch. Even though Hashem and the Yidden had their marriage when the Torah was given, but that was only the Erusin, the first stage of the marriage. And when Mashiach comes, will be the Nesuyim, which is like the Chuppah. That's the finalizing and the completing of the marriage, the process of marriage between Hashem and the Yidden. As you know, that in every chasana there are the two stages. One is the kiddushin, that's the putting on the ring, and the other is going on to the chuppah and the yichud room, that's the completion of the marriage. And there was a time where there were actually 12 months in between. That once the chasan did the kiddushin by putting on the ring, at that point they became married, and not completely married yet. And then they had 12 months to prepare for the completion of the marriage, which was the chuppah. Today we do it all together. But in reality it's two stages. So one stage is when Hashem gave us the Torah, and the second stage is when Mashiach is going to come. Now on page 628, the Rebbe says like this. Here's the main thrust of the sikh. Hey. In connection to all this, the importance of Simcha, the Rebbe says he's coming now with a request and a suggestion which is very unique. And that is to add Simcha, to bring Mashiach Tzidkeinu and the Gula Amid Vashleim B'Peil Mamash. In other words, we should be B'Simcha exclusively for this reason, this purpose, just in order to bring Mashiach. Now the Rebbe goes to explain. Ba'akdam. Again, I'll just read straight in English. Throughout all the generations, they always looked forward and anticipated Gula. Yidden always davened for the Gula, especially the Tzaddikim. Their desire and their yearning for Gula was with more force than anyone else. And there were many Tzaddikim that put their life on the line, they put their life at risk in order to bring Mashiach. As we know, there are many stories in Jewish history. But all this doesn't come near the storm that was raised about Mashiach by the Friedrich Rebbe. When he came out with his announcement, this was in 1941, he came out with his announcements, which was called Kol Kaira, more than 40 years ago, with the announcement of La'alta L'Tshuva, La'alta L'Gula. We should do Tshuva immediately, and that'll bring the Gula immediately. And this is not... Yeah, this is the Friedrich Rebbe's slogan, so to speak. La'alta l'tshuva, la'alta l'gula. La'alta means like miyad, immediately, imminently. And at that time, the Friedrich Rebbe printed four times announcements in the Jewish newspapers that people should get ready for gula. But the way it was then was with some stipulation. Do tshuva immediately and have gula immediately. In that sense, the Rebbe told us many times, we're past the stage of tshuva, now we're up to totally gula. To be more specific, the Rebbe says, the truth is that throughout all the generations, a lot of activity was done in order to bring Mashiach, especially revealing Chassidus by the Baal Shem Tov. As we know, the famous letter that the Baal Shem Tov said, he received an answer from Melech HaMashiach. Baal Shem Tov asked Mashiach, Eimasai Kosi Mar, when are you coming? And he answered, when Chassidus will be spread out. So since then, every effort was made to spread Chassidus in order to bring Mashiach. And especially after Chassidus was spread by the Alter Rebbe. And this is like that, as we know the story the Rebbe says with the drop. that hopefully one drop will get in. The story with the king's crown, that there's a king had a son, a mushel. The mushel that the king had a son, and the son was very sick, and the doctors told him the only way to bring him back to health is that there's a diamond in the king's crown. This is the crown jewel, the most beautiful piece in the crown, and if you'll grind that and make it into liquid and he'll drink it, he'll become well. And initially the king didn't allow them to do it. He tried other methods, and when he saw that everything else failed, he told them to grind it. They said, at this point he's so sick he can't even drink it. He said, do it anyway, maybe one drop will get in and that'll bring him back to life. So Alter Rebbe said that's what he did with Chassidus. Chassidus is Hashem's crown jewel. It was hidden for thousands of years, and now it's going out into the streets. Someone told me that he was on the train, and he saw an advertisement of the Havdol, some non-Jewish singers having some concert, and in the background, what is on the train? The chart of the 10 spheres, because she's into Kabbalah. Whatever, of course, this is not, Rachmana Litzlan, where we want to learn Chassidus, but it just shows us that Chassidus has become so much into the world that it can even end up in such a place. So this is all like the Mesiris Nefesh, that Hashem is allowing his most precious part of Torah to be thrown in the streets, because a drop will get in and that'll bring us back to life, that'll bring Mashiach. And the Rebbe says every Rebbe in every generation, through his efforts, the spreading of Chassidus became progressively stronger and more than the generation before, until the Friedrich Rebbe, in his generation, it reached literally the entire world, from one end of the world to the other end of the world. There's no place in the world that Chassidus didn't reach, and it reached all the other languages and so on. But the Rebbe says an interesting thing. Throughout all the generations, and even by the Friedrich Rebbe in the early stages when he became Rebbe, the emphasis was not so much bringing Mashiach, the emphasis was learning Chassidus, because it's very deep and it's very precious and it refines us. Even though everyone knew that Chassidus is to bring Mashiach, but that was not the emphasis. The emphasis was learn Chassidus because of all the spiritual benefit that it brings to the person intellectually, emotionally, and practically. The fact that Chassidus brings Mashiach was only mentioned from time to time. When the Friedrich Rebbe came out, that was in 1941 with his announcement, La'alta L'tshuva, La'alta L'gula. And from that point on, it didn't stop, but the storm that he raised regarding Mashiach only became stronger and stronger and stronger, that the entire emphasis of everything we do is to bring Mashiach. Why is it in such a way? How come in the beginning it wasn't brought out so openly? In other words, for many people, now they don't understand why we're making such an emphasis on Mashiach. And they say, you know, years ago people learned Chassidus and they learned Sichas, and the whole emphasis was to have a more refined outlook on life, to understand godliness, to be a more refined person, refine your personality. Not that everything is to bring Mashiach. But now these are the Rebbe's words, that everything we do, it's all for this purpose, that by learning Chassidus, this will bring the Gula. This is the main function and the main purpose of our generation. So someone once brought a mushel to this. The mushel is found in Chassidus. I'll just elaborate a little bit, maybe add something just to be more clear. And that is a very interesting mushel. That when you create something, whether it's a keli, or let's say a building. Let's use a building as a simple example. When you're building a building, in the early stages, no one really can recognize what it's all about. We use a simple example right across the street. I mean, forget about the sign that's there. For who knows how long there was a big hole in the ground. Did you have any idea what they're going to build? No. Now you look at it and you see a few floors with steel. You still have no idea what it's going to be from what you see. And the more they build, you still won't know. When would you start recognizing? When is it going to be standing out what the purpose of this building is? As it gets closer to the end of the project, then you can recognize, is this going to be a parking house? Is this going to be an office building? Is this going to be a school? Is this going to be a hospital? Is this going to be a museum? So in other words, in the initial stages, you can't recognize it. But But only as you get closer to the end of the project, you see what its purpose is going to be. Or the same thing with gold and silver. If you take it and you want to mold and make a certain keli out of it, initially you don't know what it is, just a gold, and you're designing it. But until, as it gets closer to the end, that's when you begin to recognize, that's when it stands out what its purpose is. So here too, initially the whole purpose of Chassidus was to bring Mashiach. But in the initial stages, in the early generations, this part didn't stand out. Now that we're coming to the end of the project, now it stands out and it's more pronounced that the whole purpose is to bring Mashiach. Then the Rebbe says in Vav, on page 630. I forgot to mention, those who listen on the tape, we're reading out of Sefer HaSichas Tov Shem Mem Ches, Shabbos Pashas Kiseitza. However, since the Friedrich Rebbe made his announcement, so many years have passed, the Mashiach still didn't come. And there's no explanation to this. Chazal said, Kol HaKol HaKitzin, we surely did tshuva already. And so much was done. The Rebbe says, so much tilim of David Malka Mashiach was recited. So many fabrengens were made. Siddhis was spread all out in the world from the Baal Shem Tov, more than seven generations. And so many amazing, amazing, phenomenal things have been accomplished with Siddhis in the world. And the only thing you can say is that things were not perfect. So the Rebbe says, nothing will be perfect until Mashiach comes. Adrab, if it's not perfect, send us Mashiach so we can do things perfect. So the question is, what else is there to do that we didn't do yet? Zion. So the Rebbe says, the thing which hasn't been done yet is the Avoida of Simcha for the sake to bring Mashiach. In other words, Simcha just as an end in itself, not a means to an end. What does that mean? We know that one of the things that Chassidim represent is the emphasis on Simcha. It's known that before the Chassidim were called Chassidim, they had different names, and one of the names they were called the Freilacha, which in Yiddish means the happy one. In other words, one of the ways to identify a Chassid is the Simcha Chassidim. And this is one of the reasons why there was so much opposition against the Chassidim, because the opponents of Chassidim said these people are too light and they're too frivolous, and it's going to lead to going away from Yiddishkeit. But this was, you can say, one of the main things that characterized a Chassid, the Simcha. In fact, the Rebbe brings down here that it says that the Simcha that's connected to a mitzvah can actually help a person reach a level which is higher than the mitzvah itself. So even though in previous generations there was also so much emphasis on Simcha and singing and dancing and the Baal Shem Tov and all the Chassidim, but nevertheless there's a difference. By them, up until now, the main objective was to do the mitzvah. And the Simcha was the way how to do the mitzvah. In other words, Simcha was a means to an end. The Simcha was to give the mitzvah the best kind of approach, best kind of, do the mitzvah in the best possible way. So the Simcha was not an end in itself, but it was a way, it was enhancing something else. Now the Rebbe said, I'm talking about a different inyan. Now we're talking about, it's underlined there, HaSimcha Kishala Atzma, which means Simcha B'tarasa, Simcha in its purest form. Just the Simcha with the exclusive purpose and goal that this Simcha should bring Mashiach. And being that this is it, so therefore we should now increase in Simcha, in this pure Simcha, and that would bring Mashiach. Ches. However, the Rebbe said there's a question. This is really the case, that being the Simcha with this exclusive purpose to bring Mashiach is so powerful. How come it was never done before? How come even after the Friedrich Rebbe announced La'alta Le'gula, the time has come to do everything to bring Gula, why didn't they do this? In fact, the Rebbe says, look, they did everything you can possibly do to bring Mashiach. The precious diamond and the king's crown, the crown jewel, was crushed in order to get a drop into the child's mouth. So much was done, Chassidus was brought out to the open that even reaches a nunjul. Like I just said, a nunjul is walking around with the chart of the Esser Svirus. Nevertheless, why didn't they try this thing to bring Mashiach through Simcha? So the answer is, the Rebbe says, the Pashtus. When you're in Golus, And the Shechinas in Golos, it's such a painful thing that you can't really have pure Simcha. In the Sikha of last week, we spoke about prophecy. If the Rambam writes, what's the reason why we don't have prophecy today as common as in those days? Because one of the conditions, a prerequisite to have prophecy is to be besimcha. In fact, the Navi, if he wanted to receive a prophecy, wanted to receive a prophetic vision, he would gather together his students, tell them to play instruments, and that would create a simcha dika atmosphere, and then he would get his prophecy, because without simcha, he cannot get, the Shekhinah does not dwell. So the Rambam writes, this is the reason why during Golos we don't find so much Shekhinah, so much Nevuah, it's not as common, because there's not so much Simcha. So the Rebbe says, therefore they couldn't do such a thing. But if that's the case, then we have another question. How could we do it now? Then how could we talk about it now? So the Rebbe says, Afafikei, nevertheless, being that Sof Kol Sof, ultimately, we must bring Mashiach, there's no choice, we have to bring Mashiach with Simcha. What do we do with the question that in such a time, such a painful time of Golos, it's very difficult to generate pure Simcha? So the answer is, being that we have to bring Mashiach, we must say that now at the end of Golos, the Eibishter gives us special koiches that we should be able to have Simcha in its purest form. And how could we, but practically speaking, what would give us the Simcha? The Simcha is when you stop and think that take from Yad Mamash Bo Mashiach Tzidkenu, if you think of how close we are to the coming of Mashiach, that itself will stimulate Simcha, and that Simcha will bring Mashiach. Then the Rebbe concludes that the main thing is, instead of talking so much and so long and having all these dialogues, let's start with Maisa L'Poel. Let's go out with an announcement to add in Simcha in order to bring Mashiach. And certainly this will bring Mashiach B'Poel. And Adrabe, Yenosu V'Yivachuchu, which means, why don't you test me, try it out, and just do this. It's interesting, you want to know what was the end result of this. Many times it ever came out with a new mitzvah, a new campaign. In this particular situation, the Rebbe didn't mention it again. And I guess the Rebbe was waiting for us, after this Sikha, probably to campaign on the subject of Simcha. But somehow, for whatever reason, it never was done. But here the Rebbe says, and something the Rebbe says, is not Chas V'Shalom, we didn't lose the opportunity, but that's what every person, especially when this time of the year comes around, that's our Avodah, is Simcha. And the Simcha comes from recognizing how close we are to Gula. Comes along the Nefesh of Bahamas and says, well, how close to Gula? You said that last year. You said it 2 years ago. That's the Nefesh of Bahamas. And the bottom line is, what he gains is it gets you not to be the Simcha. So once again, mission can be accomplished. But if a person would just stop and have the total Muna, Mashiach is coming and it's coming soon, and whatever it is that's weighing down on me, this will be lifted and things will be turned around and everything will be changed, that thought alone will give the person the koyach to be the Simcha, and that Simcha will hasten Bias Mashiach. At the end of this Sikha, the Rebbe actually stood up, they started to sing the Hakafas Nigun of the Rebbe's father, Levi Yitzchak. The Rebbe stood up and was singing and dancing for a very long time by the Fabrengen, the Simcha in order to bring Mashiach. So this is also the reason why, on one hand, the Rebbe tells us to shout Ad Masai, but it doesn't tell us to cry Ad Masai, it tells us to sing Ad Masai. You sing Ad Masai, you sing Yechi. In other words, it's true that Golos is a very painful thing, but our approach has to be to announce and pronounce our Amunah and Bitochen that Gula is coming, and that speeds it more than anything else, and not to focus on how deep the Golos is and how painful the Golos is, and to focus on that pain, because the truth is the way a person feels has everything to do with what you think, what you focus on. So the truth is there is a lot to feel pain for in Golos, but it depends if I'm focusing on that. If I focus on how painful things are, then I'll feel the pain of Golos. If I focus on how Bias Mashiach has taken from Yad and how good things will be, then this will bring the Simcha, and that Simcha itself hastens Mashiach's coming. Everything in Yiddishkeit, everybody has their level that they can do.
What
The question is just what the goal is. What is the goal? The goal is to create that symptom. And my goal, and my goal with others, should be to bring other people to the symptom. Like some people think, you know, Chodesh Elul, maybe the goal is to get people to cry as much as possible. More tshuva, to feel broken, and some people do that. That's their goal, that they get up and speak publicly, that they speak and they wait. And once they see the tears coming, then they know the mission accomplished. And the Rebbe's approach is once they see all the tears gone and people just lifted to be besimcha, that's the mission accomplished. So again, how much I accomplish, and everybody is according to their capacity, but the goal has to be to my mind and my heart should be in the geula that's coming, not in the goals. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is one of the things about the Rebbe that everyone who came, I remember once speaking to somebody, was actually a parent of a student that was studying here, and he said, he spoke Yiddish, so he said, I love to come to Crown Heights. In those days when he would come in, if you remember, when the Rebbe would walk into shul, they would sing as the Rebbe walked in, they would sing as the Rebbe walked out. When the Rebbe went to the car, they would sing. When the Rebbe came out of the car, they would sing. So he says, when I come here, I feel every day is like Yontif over here. I mean, what happened when people come to the Rebbe? They came to the Rebbe, they went for dollars, and what happened when they walked out, they were lifted. The Rebbe lifted them, gave them encouragement, gave them hope, gave them strength. That's what everyone knows the Rebbe about. That's the whole thing. The Rebbe was full of simcha. I mean, not chas v'shalom, I need this kind of thing, but it's just interesting. Somebody once said that he was at a place where there was a woman speaking. She's considered one of the biggest experts in the world on analyzing handwriting. Handwriting. Somebody in Florida. And seemingly, without her knowledge, you know, she analyzed the Rebbe's handwriting. And she said really some amazing things, but one of the things which I remember now that you mentioned it, she said, B'chash Barata and the Rebbe, you see opposites, total opposite things working together. That was one of the most amazing things. One of them was, she said, the Rebbe is a person that is never completely satisfied with what was accomplished. In other words, most people, if you do something, first of all, you yourself, okay? I actually learned with one person this week, so it was great, you know. But the Rebbe, you never found that the Rebbe would be fully satisfied. If somebody would write to the Rebbe what they did, the bracha was, thank you very much, and hopefully next time you do twice as much. I think I mentioned this once in a class here, where somebody was introducing an Israeli official to the Rebbe by the dollars. And he was all excited. You can see on the video, he's excited. He said, this person's name is such and such. And he just, through his efforts, just built 1,000 houses in Israel, and listen to this place, that was occupied a certain territory. 1,000 families. The Rebbe didn't jump. The Rebbe didn't get all excited. The Rebbe gave him $2 and said, I hope that next time you'll build 2,000. That was the write-off. That was, he can't walk away saying, ah, I did 1,000, now I can sit on my rocking chair and relax. It's right away do more. So on one hand she said, whoever wrote this, she sees in the handwriting, is a person that is never satisfied and wants to do more and more and more, and yet he has the perfect simcha, which usually these two things don't go together, because people who want to accomplish more are the most depressed people in the world. They're never happy with what they did.